All right, well, it's just about 5 after, and I'm hoping that some more people mill in, but I don't want to steal too much time from the next presenter's session to get ready before their talk. So thank you all for coming so much. I know that the lunch hour is a little bit tricky. Some of you are probably hungry looking forward to food, and some of you have already gotten your food, and I've tried to structure the demos that I'm going to give so that by the time you're almost passing out at the end, I'll have the more interesting stuff for you to look at. I just wanted to do a quick survey, and it might not be a great survey since the sample size isn't as big as I'd hoped, but how many of you are Silverlight developers or work with Silverlight? Okay, so basically the whole room, which is what I would expect at Mix, right? How many of you have worked with XNA Game Studio? Okay, so actually a fair number of both, which is really exciting and great because I think that'll help this session make more sense to you guys. Doesn't it drive you crazy that you can't use both in the same app? Just an observation to start with. If you go to the create.msdn.com website, our app hub website, where you can find resources about writing applications and submit them for Windows Phone, there's an article entitled XNA Game Studio or Silverlight, which product is right for me? And as you read that article, it explains what each technology is good at, what some of the considerations are that would govern which one you decide to pick. But when I look at that, I just want to rephrase that as XNA and Silverlight don't play nice on Windows Phone 7. Or try to answer the question with another question, not whether it's Silverlight or XNA, but why can't I have both? So I'm really excited to be sharing with you today during this session that you will be able to use both now. My name is Brian Hudson. I work for the XNA Game Studio team in concert with the Windows Phone team. And yes, today I'll be talking about XNA and Silverlight in the same application in Mango. I do apologize that my session title is a little bit more generic than that. So if you were looking for all the features that we're going to be adding to Game Studio in Mango, I'm not going to talk about all of that, but you guys probably saw in the keynote all sorts of really exciting things that game developers are going to love, like sockets and new profiling tools. Just all sorts of features that I think are going to be really useful for game developers. Another one that I think about is the generational garbage collection that's going to help out quite a bit. So let's just go ahead and dive in here. Basically, Silverlight or XNA, which one are you going to pick for your app? Generally, this really just comes down to what do you want to do for your graphics? That's probably the biggest bit, the most significant bit here is, do you want to write an app that's going to look like a natural extension of the phone without having to do a ton of grunt work to make that happen? Are you eager to use, you know, XAML and UI controls? If that's the case, then you're probably going to pick Silverlight. If you're writing a higher performance game and you are comfortable with game programming, then your choice is likely to be XNA. Sometimes the choice between these two is easy, but as the platform matures and we're seeing more and more interesting applications and ideas come out there, I hear from developers quite a bit, you know, I want to use XNA for my game, but I really want to have a rich system of menus and data that I can show my users, and I just don't want to write a high score screen. So I stuck with Silverlight. I maybe simplified some parts of my game, but it was good enough, and so I wasn't using XNA because of that reason. One other thing that might make the choice for you, whether you're going to use Silverlight or XNA for an application, is if you choose to use a browser or a maps control in your app. At that point, you just have to use Silverlight today. So we realized that this was kind of painful for developers when we were developing the RTM version of Windows Phone 7. So we tried to take as many technologies that were graphics agnostic from Silverlight and XNA and make them interop between the frameworks. So if you're writing a Silverlight app, as many of you probably already know, you can use things from the XNA framework that don't depend on graphics or game. Things such as audio, our sound effect APIs, the microphone APIs that we've shipped. You can integrate with the Zune Media Player nicely with the APIs that we have there. And you can use our touch panel for input rather than Silverlight's touch functionality if you want to. Excuse me. And then, of course, there are some things in the gamer services namespace that allow Xbox Live titles to deliver those experiences. And then from the Silverlight side, XNA games can use HTTP web request. So we did what we could to try and make as much of the technology generally available in both application frameworks. But even though we did that, If you're a game developer targeting Windows Phone 7, there are some challenges that you probably run into today. For instance, let's say you get your game engine up and running, you've got your gameplay feeling pretty good, maybe it's, you know, a tilt-based game and you like that, and now you want to implement a menu. Well, you don't have a lot of choices. We have something on the create.msdn.com website called the Game State Management Sample, and if you download that, it has a nice sort of infrastructure and framework in place where you can have separate little pages in your application and you can navigate among them. But one of the drawbacks of that is it doesn't really look like Metro or the Windows Phone 7 design language at all. It just doesn't really lend itself that well to looking like the rest of the phone. You could go get a controls framework from the web and try and use that, but you're still going to have to skin it if you want to make it look like the phone OS. Some other limitations that you might run into using Game Studio today, if you want to make your game play nicely with social networks, the browser control is a great way to do authentication for that, and that's just not an option for you if you're using XNA. We do offer you the ability to do video playback using XNA, but really you're just launching out to a separate video playback task, and it's kind of disruptive. You can't really control it and pause it and do those types of things, so there's some limitations there. And then finally, the last limitation that I wanted to call out, or challenge really, is that XNA's font rendering functionality is somewhat limited. And really, to call XNA a font renderer isn't actually true. You have to pre-declare every character from every font and typeface and style that you could possibly render in your game beforehand at build time. And so if you wanted to pull dynamic characters from the web or from a keyboard that the user is typing in, you could end up shipping a really large number of assets just to support fonts in your application. And when you look at Far East character sets that have 10,000 characters, this can get prohibitive really quickly. So that's a limitation there as well. What if you're writing a Silverlight application for Windows Phone 7? Some of the limitations you might run into are pretty obvious. You can't use XNA to get at the graphics device. So if you want to push a lot of content, if you want to use our effects and texture things, stuff like that, you really just can't. You also don't have access to the hardware scaler that can be really useful in XNA. So I've kind of spent a little bit of time probably telling you a lot of things that you already know, but for those who didn't, you know, quite understand the developer experience for the framework that they don't usually use, we've kind of got the full picture painted of what the app developer platform looks like today. What I'm really excited to spend the rest of this talk talking about is how we're bringing the two together. And now you can use XNA graphics within your Silverlight application. And the last bit of that phrase is really important there. You will be writing Silverlight applications if you want to use this new functionality. So you will have an app class that you implement all of your functionality in. You'll have phone application pages that you can navigate among. And basically what we've added is a new extension method from XNA's graphics device called set sharing mode. And this is kind of like a big switch. So basically what you can do is flip a switch and say, okay, application, I'm going to draw using the XNA graphics device now. Silverlight will stop displaying, and then you basically get to draw individual frames using all of the XNA graphics APIs, just like you're used to in regular XNA applications today. Now, one restriction that I want to call out there is you can only use XNA graphics APIs when this sharing mode is enabled. So if you try to do those when you haven't turned on this XNA rendering mode, you will get some exceptions and things like that. So how do we kind of expose this? The Silverlight, you know, model obviously didn't have anything like XNA before, so what we've done is created a new type called Shared Graphics Device Manager. And for those of you familiar with XNA, which I recall was quite a number of you, this looks very similar to the Graphics Device Manager that we have in XNA games today. And it takes care of things like setting up your back buffer resolution, your orientation, your present interval, all of those types of things, but within Silverlight. And basically, the Shared Graphics Device Manager is responsible for ensuring a clean handoff between Silverlight, which uses the GPU to draw hardware-accelerated graphics sometimes, and XNA, where you're specifically using that direct rendering mode, the immediate mode API. Now, one thing that I wanted to call out here is that resource management is important to understand with this new API. Silverlight is very good at having a retained model where it knows what you want to draw that you've specified in XAML, and it uses the GPU to do that as fast as possible whenever it makes sense. Now, when you flip this switch and say, I'm going to render using XNA now, Silverlight's going to go ahead and evict as much graphics memory intensive resources as it can to give you as much memory as possible for your XNA graphics experiences. Now, on the other hand, when you switch back, anything that you loaded specifically using XNA APIs will still be there. And the reason for that is if you imagine that you had a long content load experience at the beginning of your game and it took 5, 10 seconds, something like that, and you wanted to switch to a Silverlight page for just a moment to show a high score screen, it wouldn't be very friendly to the user if we evicted all those graphics resources, and when they wanted to get back into your XNA experience, you had to load them all again. So you just need to keep in mind that you're responsible for managing resources allocated using the XNA APIs. Silverlight will do its best to get out of your way and free memory as appropriate. So now that I've spent a bunch of time talking about this, let's go look at some code so that you can actually see what this looks like. What I've got here is very similar to what we are going to ship along with the next version of the Visual Phone Developer Tools. And so this is going to be a new template. It's called a rich graphics application. And when you create a new one, the first thing that you're going to see here is a Silverlight page. Now, this isn't all that exciting from a Silverlight point of view. And in fact, the designers would probably look at me and say, you know what, that's not very metro. That button hanging out there isn't very pretty. But this is kind of educational. And to an XNA developer, it's really exciting that they now have access to the XAML editor within Visual Studio. I think their eyes are just going to light up when they get to use this. So anyway, this is a Silverlight page. And if I click on that button there, you can go ahead and see that in the code behind, we're just going to navigate to another page in this application called gamepage.xaml. So I'm going to go ahead and look at that. Looks like I forgot to bring it up. And the first thing that will probably stick out at you about this page is that it's completely empty. And that's because in this template, we don't actually do any Silverlight rendering on this page at all. We basically, on navigation to this page, switch over to using XNA rendering and start drawing. So we have a comment here even to let you know there's no XAML content as the page is rendered entirely with XNA. So if I go switch to the code behind here, I'm going to give you guys kind of a high-level overview of how this works. So in the onNavigatedTo method of this gamePage.xaml that I'm going to render with XNA, I access a property off of this shared graphics device manager called current. This is a static instance of the shared graphics device manager that you will be able to access anywhere in your application from any page. And you might ask, well, how does this thing get initialized? And I wanted to show you that really quick. The shared graphics device manager actually implements the iApplication Lifetime Aware interface. And because of that, we can basically put a tag for that type here in your application lifetime objects. And when Silverlight boots up, it can go ahead and poke the graphics device manager and say, go ahead and get set up. Here's your native direct 3D resources that we're going to be sharing within this application. And the reason I call this out for you guys is if you already have Silverlight applications that you're going to want to add XNA 3D into, you're going to have to go ahead and add this into your app.xaml. But we've already done that for you in the template here. So off of that property that I just said, we have the graphics device here and that new API that I mentioned, set sharing mode true. So we're going to flip the big switch when we navigate to the page. I'm skipping over a little bit of code that I'll show you in a few minutes here. Similarly, in onNavigated from, you're going to want to go ahead and turn XNA rendering off. So if the user hits the back button and we're going to navigate back to that previous page, you want to turn off that XNA rendering. We don't do anything in our update method that I'm going to show you right now. And in the onDraw method, I take that graphics device down here, I clear the back buffer, and then I use SpriteBatch to draw some text. And I'm going to get a little bit more into the onUpdate and onDraw methods in a few moments, but I want to just show a quick demo of what this looks like on the phone to start with. So here's my rich graphics application. There's that first page. Looks kind of plain Jane, but there it is. It's Silverlight. And when I tap the button, now I'm drawing with XNA. And I've put the classic cornflower blue, which is if XNA had an official mascot, an official team color, I think it would definitely be cornflower blue. So let's go ahead back now and look into some of that hidden code that I talked about. You see these onUpdate and onDraw methods? You're probably wondering right now, what's firing those? Silverlight doesn't do this natively. Silverlight doesn't have anything that just pumps the application like XNA does out of the box. And that actually brings up a whole series of questions about the game type from XNA. Remember, now we're working within the Silverlight application model, and there is no game. So there are all sorts of handy things that game does for you that you don't get any longer. But we've done a lot of work to make sure that the Silverlight app type will fill those needs now for you. So those heartbeat methods like I talked about, update and draw, those are going to be provided via a new timer type that we've added. Application already takes care of things like, you know, your activate and deactivate methods and obscurity changes and things like that. And then one other thing that you might have noticed when I drew some text was that, hey, you need a content manager in order to get access to a sprite font, which is how XNA draws text in an application. And you can't get to that in Silverlight today. Well, we've actually added a content manager type content manager property into the template there. And that is all set up for you so that you can access XNA's content manager just like if you were writing a straight XNA application. So I wanted to throw up an eye chart really quick for you. This is the new game timer type. Everything is there. Don't be too scared. If you're familiar with the game time argument that you get in your update and draw methods in regular XNA applications today, this will look very similar. I'm not going to go through everything here, but I'm just going to explain the basic things that this lets you do, which is specify how frequently you want your game to run. It lets you specify update and draw event handlers. And to those event handlers, you get passed this game timer event args property, which includes elapsed time, which is how long it's been since the last frame you processed, and total time, which is the total amount of time that your game has been running. So this should look very familiar if you're already experienced with XNA. The one big difference here is that you can create multiple game timers here, and you can explicitly call start and stop on them. So if you wanted to have different components of your game running at different frequencies, you could have multiple game timers here. And one really neat thing is this frame action event that we have. We try to encourage XNA developers to be as battery friendly as they can be. And so if you knew at some point that your game was paused and you didn't have anything to draw this frame, within your frame action event handler, you could actually call suppress frame, and we won't call any more update methods or draw methods on any of your game timers for the rest of that frame, which can be pretty power efficient. So let's go ahead and get back into that code demo that I was showing you. And let's look at the code that I hid away earlier. So for the constructor of the page, I create one of these new game timers. I specify my update interval, which is just 30 hertz. I add an on update and an on draw function. And then there's some goodies here that I'll show you in a few minutes as well. I think you guys will figure that out when I get back to the demo. In the onNavigated2 function, we create a new sprite batch. We access this content manager that I talked to you about, which we put a property in the app so that you can just access that, which I get right here. So we get that content variable filled in, and then we use that to load up our sprite font. And then I do the same thing for this little particles guy that you'll see in a few minutes. And then at the end of the onNavigated2 function, we call timer.start. And it's important that you know how this timer works. If you call start on a timer and you lose the reference or you let go of the handle to that reference, we're just going to keep that timer going forever. So if you want to clean it up, make sure you call stop on it first. And that actually is consistent with other timers as well. In the onNavigatedFrom method, you're going to see some similarities. We just go ahead and stop the timer. And then in our onUpdate method, we do a little bit of work for the little surprise that I'm going to show you in a few minutes. And then in the onDraw method, we do that as well. So now I'll show you that application one more time. And what was formerly a somewhat boring application is a little bit more interesting when I double tap on the screen and we put a couple particles on there. And I prove that, yes, we are actually drawing frames. I didn't just clear the background once or take you to a blue page and tell you that it was XNA. So that's all great and nice. We have this really crisp transition from one page to another. It's kind of disruptive. I can draw Silverlight at one time. I can draw XNA at another time. This unlocks a lot of scenarios, like, for instance, if you wanted to use a browser or if you wanted to do a high score screen and things like that. But at the beginning, I talked about a game developer wanting to do a menu in the middle of their game. And that really begs the question, you know, okay, Brian, I like that we can use XNA and Silverlight in the same app, but can I use them both at the same time? That would be even better. And the answer is yes. I'm really excited to explain another type that we are adding that lets you do exactly this. It's called the UI Element Renderer. And this is actually what you saw in Scott Guthrie's keynote when he was, Mr. Buff on stage and doing his little touch myself faux pas that will live in YouTube infamy forever. And actually, the 3D model, obviously, was drawn using XNA, but you saw those buttons and controls at the bottom, and those were drawn using a UI Element Renderer. And what UI Element Renderer really does is renders UI elements into textures. So the thing you have to recognize here, or I need to explain to you, is that when you throw that big switch and say that I'm going to render using XNA now, Silverlight is actually still active in the background. Now, fortunately, Silverlight is all event-based, so it's not doing much of anything. It shouldn't have a significant impact on your performance when doing your 3D rendering and all of your other game work, but it is there. So if you put controls in that page, you can hand those to the UI Element Renderer and ask it to draw them for you and get back a texture. And there are all sorts of really exciting things that you can do with this, but the most straightforward one is you could just take your page, the whole page, hand it to UI Element Renderer, ask it to draw it, and slap it on top of your 3D content, and you've basically just taken your Silverlight page and your XNA page and blended them together and gotten all the benefits of Silverlight UI along with XNA 3D. So there are some other use cases as well. You can pump the UI Element Renderer and ask it to render every single frame, or you can just do this once. If you wanted to, say, for instance, do some sort of transition between pages, I'll show you a demo like that in a few minutes. Or if you wanted to use Silverlight's really rich text functionality, you could render a string that you downloaded from the cloud that you might not have been able to do with XNA, because remember, you didn't know what characters you might be getting. And then you could just save that texture off of, to the side and use that within your game moving forward. Or you can use UI Element Renderer per frame, as I mentioned, for a full screen page if you wanted to, or maybe just a few controls or a heads-up display or something like that. So I'm going to go ahead and show you guys a demo here of a teapot application. It's called My Little Teapot. And this first page is, again, a Silverlight page with some controls on it. And I'm going to be rendering a 3D teapot behind those. And I just want to dive into the code behind here and show you in code what it looks like to use this UI Element Renderer. So we go ahead and declare one up here. We have some of the same stuff with our timer that I talked about earlier, which isn't, all that new. But I have this layout updated event that we decide to hook. In that layout updated event, we go ahead and create a new UI element renderer, passing in a UI element. In this case, we're just going to pass in the page, which does inherit from UI element. And then we're going to pass in the width and the height. And you can see I have a little bit of a condition here. The layout updated event actually will get fired when we're navigating away as well, and the actual width and height will be zero. So obviously, we don't want to try and create a UI element renderer when we're navigating away and we're asking it for something that's 0x0. So that's why that check is there. In the onNavigatedTo method, we go ahead and set our sharing mode to true so that we'll be rendering with XNA. And I'll skip the onNavigatedFrom method because it looks pretty much the same as before. And then in the onDraw function, the first thing that we do is call render on the UI element renderer. And that's going to go ask Silverlight, I want you to go ahead and take my page, draw it into a texture, and make it available to me. So that's happening in the background. Kind of imagine those commands have been sent down to the GPU now, and it's going to start working on those. I clear the back buffer to blue. I draw my teapot. Then after that, I use Sprite Batch to draw a full screen quad of that texture. So I'm going to slap it right on top. And the thing that you'll find out is my background color in that Silverlight page is transparent, and so those two just alpha blend together nicely. So I'm going to go ahead and show that. So here's our little teapot. It's not all that super exciting, but it has some little controls there. I can take the teapot, and the thing that's really, really awesome about bringing Silverlight and XNA together in this way is that now you can take advantage of Silverlight's input stack and hit testing and all of that stuff. So These buttons have handlers. I can change the color of the teapot. And these little sliders here let me change the color of the teapot as well. You can use Silverlight animation, storyboards, all of those things. So if I toggle the panel here, I can hide that or bring it back. And the hit testing, as I mentioned, works really well also. So what I'm using here is actually a Silverlight canvas, and I'm taking the manipulation delta events off of that to move the teapot. But if I put the handle of the teapot underneath one of those controls and I tap on the control, I'm not rotating the teapot, I'm manipulating the control. So I might be able to get between the two. Nope, I don't think I can. They're stacked right next to each other. So you can see the hit testing there works really well. Let's switch back. So I wanted to talk about input with UI Element Renderer just a little bit more, because as we were designing this, we went through a few iterations where we were thinking, hey, can we make XNA input and Silverlight input work together really, really well? And it turns out that the best solution here is to use one input technology or the other. If you try to use them both at the same time, you can, but you're probably going to start trying to do some intelligent things, you know, because when Silverlight takes input and routes it and figures out what has focus and starts propagating events, the touch panel from XNA doesn't know that. So if you tap on one of those controls for the slider, and you're querying the touch panel every update and asking it what touches are on the screen, you're going to get both. And you might try and do something intelligent there and say, oh, okay, well, if I see that from touch panel and I know that my Silverlight element is right here, then I'll just ignore it. But you're really playing a game of catch-up there that gets pretty hairy pretty quickly, especially when you have things like that panel that can animate in and out. So our recommendation is use one technology or the other. And I'm just going to show you really quick in the code what that looks like. So you'll see here, I've got a canvas, and I've hooked this the manipulation delta event with this event handler called teapot manipulation delta. And if you go look at the bottom of this code here, we just use the translation x and y to calculate a new yaw and a pitch for the teapot. And so it works pretty well. I wanted to talk about some more advanced use cases using both the XNA shared rendering and the UI element renderer. One thing that you can do is actually turn on that XNA rendering and just leave it on for your entire application. Don't ever turn it off. And you can make some really nice immersive experiences by doing that, and I'm going to show you that in a moment. Another really important thing, especially for you game developers out there, to consider is when I just lazily slapped that whole page right on top of my XNA 3D content, I'm paying quite a bit of a fill cost there, right? Like, all those pixels in the middle of the screen were clear, and, you know, we're just wasting power and GPU cycles by doing that. You can actually have multiple UI element renderers. So if you wanted to, and you wanted to have a little bar at the top of your screen and one at the bottom, you could just make those only as big as necessary and draw those that way, and you're going to save some fill cost there. It just happens to be easier to do it the way that I showed you. Another really, really exciting use case that gets enabled by UI Element Renderer is putting a text box in your application. It sounds simple, but in reality, now you can have a text box at the same time as 3D content, whereas today, XNA developers have to bring up a special dialog box that's very disruptive if they want to be able to use the built-in system SIP. So before I go through all the code that kind of runs this demo, I just wanted to show it to you because I think it's a really fun application. And if you guys went to Andrew Klinik's talk on kind of the overview of what we're adding in Mango, you've seen it already. You know, I rib him a little bit and say you stole my thunder, but I was happy that he was trying to get people to come to this talk. So if you've seen it before, I apologize. If you haven't, it's pretty neat. So what I've got going on here is a tank rendered by XNA, obviously, and then a page that I authored in Silverlight. And if I tap edit here, I actually keep drawing in 3D while I'm navigating across pages. So I animate the camera and perform a Silverlight page navigation at the same time and continue to composite those together. So this really gives the user kind of a nice visual sense of movement through the application. It's like I'm going into a different experience here. Let's say I want to go modify the animation properties of the tank. Okay, well, I move the tank, so you kind of get the feel, oh, yeah, I'm on the animation page. I know where I am here. Maybe I can turn on a couple of the animations that I like and turn off the other ones. Or if I want to go in and manipulate some of the lights. Let's say that I want to turn the diffuse color a little bit red and make my tank look kind of goofy, or reset it there. Or I can go in and maybe have a little hidden debug menu and turn on wireframe drawing for the tank or something like that. The last thing that I wanted to show you was that text box like I talked about, because I just think this is really cool. I've now got a text box in my application. If I tap in there, the SIP is going to come up, and as we push further languages out to Windows Phone, the native language is going to be represented in this SIP, and they can enter that into the text box, and you don't have to worry about that in your XNA rendering code, which is just really, really great. Because we discourage people from writing their own software input panels because they just don't grow with the OS very well. But when the only option that we gave you guys was a separate pop-up that says, you know, enter your text here while you don't see the cool game that I wrote, it was tempting for them to want to do that. So I want to go ahead now and dive into the code that makes this all work. And I'm going to show you another kind of plain page here, which is that first menu that you saw. And when we look into the code behind, the one thing that you'll notice is different this time is that there's not nearly as much code in the onNavigated2 method and the main page and all that stuff. And the reason is that we were trying to come up with a sample that reflected what you as developers are going to start doing now that you've got Silverlight at your disposal and you want to really iterate on your UI quickly. If you had to go add all of that XNA drawing code into every new Silverlight page that you added, it wouldn't really be nearly as efficient as we'd like it to be. So you can see that this phone application page that I have here is actually derived from something called base page that contains all of that functionality. So in this application, we basically turn on XNA shared rendering at the very beginning. We never look back. And each page that we navigate to is inherited from this base page type and takes care of all those things like creating a timer, setting up the on update and on draw methods, creating my UI element renderer there, and then in the draw method, pumping the UI element renderer. And then this is actually a singleton object that is responsible for all the state that allows you to draw the tank. And so each page has a reference to that 3D tank renderer, and behind the scenes, all of that is being taken care of. So if I wanted to add a new user experience, all I would have to do, for instance, if I wanted to add a lights page, is just add a new page here that derives from base page. And in the code behind, all I have to take care of is my business logic, really, right? So the only thing that you'll see here is some navigation events that are hooked up to my buttons, the reset logic that sets my lights back to the way they were supposed to be. And then one more thing that I wanted to call out that is kind of a tease for one of the other really awesome benefits that XNA developers are going to get from having Silverlight at their disposal. You see this animate camera position function and the animate camera target function? These are responsible for specifying what the tank is going to look like when I navigate to one of those new pages. And I'm going to go ahead and drill into one of these really quick. And what you'll see here is that we're actually programmatically creating a storyboard based on the values that we pass into this function and saying, I want the camera to be right here by the time we're done. We take the current values that the camera and the camera target are at, and we use Silverlight and a storyboard to interpolate those, which is just really, really powerful. So diving into that a little bit more here, you can see we create the new storyboard. We target the storyboard at this, which basically means that this class derives from dependency object. We go ahead and hook up an event handler for when the storyboard is complete. We create an easing function, some animations. Again, I said how we are going to animate from the current camera X property or position to a new camera X position. We do the same thing for the Y and Z properties of the camera position. We set those target properties onto some dependency objects that we define inside of this class here, add those to the storyboard, and then this is the most beautiful line of code, I think, in this part of the demo, which is we call begin. Silverlight takes care of setting up all the values, pushing them into the dependency properties, interpolating among all of them, and cleaning everything up when the storyboard is done. If you think about implementing animation like this in XNA, it's a bunch of code. It's a bunch of repetitive code. It's been written 100 times, and everybody who writes it probably does a good job of it, but we already have this at our disposal in Silverlight. So it's just really powerful that now you guys can benefit from this as well. So I guess I already showed you guys that, actually. There are a couple more advanced use cases that I wanted to talk about. Specifically, one of them is media element. So media element derives from UI element. So you might think to yourself, hey, can I stick one of these into UI element renderer and have it draw some video for me? And the answer is, yes, you can. So I wanted to go ahead and show that really quick. Let me switch over to the Wolf Vision. See if you can see this. So here we have a simple little Silverlight page like I have been showing you all day throughout this talk. And this is actually XNA drawing video. And right now it looks kind of simple. You might think that I'm drawing this on top of a rectangle, but I have actually created a model here and put textures on it. So when I tap the screen, I can perturb the texture coordinates of that video and start doing fun things with it. So I think this is going to open up a lot of new experiences for developers, whether it's just that you want to put your video in a corner, or you want to alpha blend your video, or blend it with your 3D content at the same time. So that's one really exciting use case there. And then the other here is just another demo of the same thing to give you more of an idea of what I'm doing. You can have really complex geometry and put that video on it. Just a lot of flexibility for you as the developer with video in your game. So one more advanced use case that I wanted to talk about is camera capture preview. I don't know if any of you guys came to Mark Paley's talk earlier today. Really exciting. We're adding new features to Windows Phone that allow you to both write your own custom camera applications if you want to, or just get raw frame data from the camera application and do things like implement your own barcode scanner, things like that. And when combined with sensors, this is just begging to be used for an augmented reality type of application. And so I went ahead and put something together here that uses just that. But since Video Brush is applied to a UI element, you can feed one of these to the UI element renderer as well. And so now you've got a texture representing the camera capture preview, and you can draw 3D content on top of it. So I'm going to go ahead and switch over to the camera here and show you myself, I guess. And let me set this up. So forgive me while I play cameraman and demo man at the same time. But I have the Mix logo here up on the screen. And as I move the camera down, you can see there's the audience. There you guys are. And there's the Mix logo. And to prove that it's 3D, I'm actually animating a light there. It might be kind of hard to see. Let me see if I can block that light behind. But can you guys see how the... So that's a 3D model. It is not just a sprite that I'm putting over the top. So I think you guys are going to be able to come up with a lot of really cool new application types by being able to take 3D rendering from XNA along with the camera capture preview from Silverlight. So I already showed you that demo. So takeaways, things that I want you guys to be thinking about now. It's really exciting that you're going to be able to use both of these frameworks at the same time. I think there are a lot of new application types on Windows Phone that are going to be unlocked by this. I'm hoping that you guys will surprise us of things that we didn't even think of. And kind of some actions here. If you know XNA, this is, kind of doesn't really apply to this audience since you both raised your hands for everything, but for those who watch this later, if you know XNA, go learn some Silverlight. I think you're going to find that you're going to be able to save a lot of time when writing your games for Mango. And if you know Silverlight, go learn XNA. There might be some really great experiences that you can add to your application without having to take the big leap away from all the handy UI framework stuff that Silverlight provides. And check out create.msdn.com, where we've got lots of educational resources for both of these technologies. And with that, I'll open things up for questions and just mention, please fill out your evaluation form. If there's anything that we can do better in our talks, we always like to hear about that. So please take the time to do that. If you need pens, hopefully the people outside will be able to help you out with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering if you are going to also be bringing the Silverlight capabilities into Xbox and the Windows environment so that you can still do the three targets from a common code base.
Right. So to summarize the question, it was, okay, you can use Silverlight and XNA now on Windows Phone. What about Windows and Xbox 360? We did think about that when developing this feature. We don't have anything to announce about similar functionality on those platforms at this time, but we did try to design this feature such that if we were to do it at a later date on one of those platforms, the API could look very similar or be identical, hopefully. And you make a very good point, which is, as a developer, if you're going to use this new XNA rendering inside of your Silverlight application, you are kind of losing your three-screen developer portability that XNA is really good at. So if you do want to write a game that goes across from Xbox to Windows and Windows Phone, you're probably still going to want to use the XNA project type in Mango, which we will, of course, still have.
Hi. With these new things, what reasons do we have for still building pure XNA games?
Can you speak up a little bit more?
Yeah, sure.
I couldn't quite hear all of
today,
it.
Today you have Silverlight and game, Silverlight and XNA projects, which have their separate outputs. Do we have any reason with this going forward for still building XNA, pure XNA games on the phone, or is there anything we will lack by choosing a Silverlight project and using the XNA rendering?
Still trying to understand. So I think what you were asking is, would there be any reason that I would want to use the XNA game type rather than
yeah,
this new converged model? If you already had lots of libraries that were built against, you know, XNA for Windows Phone, that might be one reason. I'd like to say that there's going to be zero performance impact for using the Silverlight application model and then using XNA inside of that, but I don't think that's necessarily true. It should be a small performance impact, I think, because like we said, Silverlight is event-driven, so it's not going to be spinning the CPU in the background or anything. But there could be a working set implications as well, because you've got the Silverlight runtime, whereas you didn't before. So that's probably a couple of considerations for why you might still want to use an XNA game project type.
One other question. The hardware scaler, is that applied if you're doing the Silverlight overlays? Are those also being scaled?
That's a really good question. So Silverlight renders at the native... to repeat it in case people didn't quite catch it, the question was, using the XNA hardware scaler from the device, if you're using the Silverlight UI element renderer overlays, are those scaled as well? And they're not, because Silverlight doesn't have the ability to render at anything other than the native page resolution there. So if you do want to use the hardware scaler in XNA, especially if you're doing input where you want things to line up properly, you're going to have to be careful about laying things out and doing some manual scaling yourself. And so, for instance, if you took some really crisp text from Silverlight and then tried to scale that down, it might not look great. I actually haven't spent a lot of time doing that yet. So that is one consideration you want to think about. Anything else? I appreciate you guys sticking it out with me. I know it's the last day of the conference, and you've probably seen a lot and maybe got into some antics last night. So thank you so much for being here. And please fill out the evaluation forms.